Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon in Miami. I got to hustle across town to make it a game three, Tone, so can we do this quickly?
I am Tony Kornheiser.
That's not quickly.
I'll do my best. How's that?
That's not quickly.
Is that working for you?
How far away is the arena? Tony, it may be about 4 miles, but it may take an hour and a half. Miami traffic is as bad as anywhere. As bad as Houston, Atlanta, Washington, Chicago, New York, LA. It may be the worst.
Why don't you rent a bike? Why don't you get one of those bike things on your phone and pedal over there? Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Rory McIlroy weighs in, Lionel Messi chooses Miami, and baseball cancels games due to smoke. But we begin today with tonight's Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Miami without Tyler Hero, who has been ruled out for tonight, will host Denver with the series tied 1-1. Game 3 may be pivotal. Wilbon, you have already publicly said that Miami will win this game, but which team needs this game more?
They need it the same. I don't buy into that whole notion that somebody needs it more. They're both playing for the same prize, and it's 1-1. So they both need it. And Tony, I think that Miami has an advantage I didn't count on seeing when the series started because I picked the Nuggets in six, and I'll stay with that. But as I told you on your podcast this morning, there's something about Miami, a toughness, a fight. Like, I know Miami will brawl. Miami's a street fighter, and they're ready to go right now. They're ready to go. Denver may be ready to go too, but I got to see it. I've seen it from Miami against the Knicks, against the Bucks, and against the Celtics, all who were supposed to be more talented fighters. Denver's supposed to be more talented, too. I know that Miami hangs in there and will brawl with anybody. Will Denver do that? And I suspect Michael Malone thought of that, too. That was part of his criticism of his own team after not playing hard enough as he thought forward and tried to get them ready for this game three. Again, I'm not saying Denver's not ready to fight. I just have to see it.
So I'm going to answer the question directly as it was posed. I think Denver needs to win this game more than Miami. I think Denver was a little bit shocked that at home, where they had been undefeated in the playoffs, Miami beat them, and Denver had a 15-point lead in the second quarter of that game. I think possibly they have been further rattled, and I'll take advantage of you talking about Michael Malone, further rattled by their coach very publicly, questioning their effort. Okay,
right.
So it feels to me like Malone thinks this is a critical game. It feels to me like Malone has pushed all his chips in the middle of the table, and that for him, this is the Alamo. So, and maybe, Mike, if Denver loses this game, maybe they do fold up. I think Miami should be favored in this game because it's a home game. They've been 6-2 at home so far. You know, they were in the finals a couple of years ago in the bubble, but they had no home games. None of that was at regular arenas. So this is the first home game in a final in a long time. And I would assume that the crowd would be very, very raucous for them. But I do think that Denver needs it more. I do.
Tony, the Malone part. Let's go back to that because you and I both have zeroed in on that over the last few days. Do you think it's to the detriment potentially that he did that? Or do you think this is going to work positively for him? Because I think that's like as important as X's and O's and any strategic matchup issue going into this.
You have to assume that a coach knows his team, that everything he does and says publicly is because he knows the reaction that will take place. So I think it's very deliberate, and he believes what I believe, that this is a critical game.
You know, South Florida is very laid back, sort of like Southern California a lot before these big sporting events. It is not laid back here. This place is on fire about this game tonight. And they got both. They got the Stanley Cup tomorrow night. Just South Florida is going nuts over these finals and final, and they should. Rory McIlroy said he was not looking forward to meeting with the media today, but he had plenty to say about the merger between the PGA Tour and the Saudis once he did. McIlroy told reporters that he's resigned to the deal, pointed out that it's between the PGA Tour and the Saudi Public Investment Fund, not the LIV Tour specifically, and concluded that the future of the PGA Tour looks brighter as a whole. Tone, what's your reaction to what Rory said?
Well, I watched it, and my immediate reaction was that Rory has taken a bite of the apple, and he's in. He's all in. Now, he was angry. He did say resigned to what was going on, to the fate of this. He said at one point he felt like a sacrificial lamb. He said he hates LIV. Said, I still hate LIV. And he's very, very upset that certain players who joined LIV, for example, the Dustin Johnsons, the Brooks Koepkas, the Bryson DeChambeaus, the Patrick Reeds, he does not want them walking back into the PGA Tour, if it's indeed named the PGA Tour, without any penalty whatsoever. But he didn't stand up and say, Jay Monahan sold us down the river. In fact, he said he had confidence in Jay Monahan. So if the guy who Monahan stabbed in the back has confidence in him, then to me, that part of the play is done. This act is over. Rory is the most important piece. He could have been angry at Monahan. He did not say that. So I think we move on, and this is the way it is now.
Yeah, it is the way it is. I'm glad you got to that part, because to me, it's move on. I mean, Rory's reaction to me, I guess it was kind of predictable. I understand why he's personally hurt. He went the other way. He was leading the charge the other way until all of a sudden, abruptly, he wasn't, which leads me to think Rory knew stuff more than he's willing to let on. And he talked about back-channel conversations. He something he knew. Even if he wasn't told, he knew, in my opinion. And so I can't wait to see. And I'm going to remind you of this, because I told you when these stories were talked about ad nauseum at Augusta that it was overplayed junk, and I meant it. And I'm really going to mean it, and I'm going to underscore it and remind you when Rory's got his arm around Dustin Johnson walking down, you know, some fairway or to the first tee somewhere, and he says he doesn't want these guys just walking back in for free. Well, what are they going to do, pay right. him? They're going to tie. Well, I don't believe any of that. That's just bluster.
Say,
that's bluster.
As people used to say, you know, you can hate the game. You don't have to hate the player. He's going to be friends with them. Let me ask you this, Mike. What if a guy like Rory McIlroy with Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas and people like that, what if they wanted to find out if they could start a tour on their own? What if they find out they could get some sponsorship? Because I think it's possible that a lot of the longtime PGA Tour sponsors are going to be uneasy about giving their money to Saudi Arabia, which in effect owns the tour at this point. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I wonder if they even wonder about it. And I don't know. Go ahead.
Tony, the one thing about this is that made sense, that one of the PGA Tour guys, not a prominent guy, said yesterday, I don't even remember who it was. He said, you have to have a product where everybody's under one umbrella. I mean, you know, this is not, there are not so many great golfers, even though there seem to be more now than just about any other generation at one time, where you can have splinter groups. That's what this proved. If people are paying attention, that even live, you can't have people just go in their own direction and have it work for the benefit of the game of golf. And that goes for the group of guys you just named, too.
You may think that way.
Yeah,
but all revolutions start with splinter groups. All progress starts with a group of entrepreneurs breaking off to see what they can do. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying I wonder if they think about it. We turn now to soccer, where Lionel Messi says he's coming to the United States. Messi has decided not to go to Saudi Arabia for all their money, nor back to Barcelona, where he had such great success, but to go instead to Inter Miami of MLS. You think it's crowded now with hockey and basketball? Make room for this. Messi will reportedly get revenue sharing from Apple TV and Adidas. So, Wilbon, how significant is it for Inter Miami and MLS to land Messi?
Well, Tony, it's really significant here in Miami, where, again, another story about professional sports has just got the place on fire. I understand that. I don't know how long that sustains, a year or two? Look, you and I, is it important for, like, is it going to be a national craze over Messi in Miami? No, not for very long, if there is. You and I were there when Beckham did this. It lasted for, what, about 10 months, maybe one season? He came to Washington. You and I were sitting there in attendance in the press conference when he came, and he entertained the media for a while, and then it goes away. And you and I were there covering soccer. Yes, people who are watching. Yes, audience, PTI audience. Cornheiser and Wilbon once covered soccer as beat writers in America, the old North American Soccer League. And Pelé came at the same age as Messi. And both were 35. Past their glorious, glorious primes. And we saw Quinalha and Beckenbauer, and you and I saw Cruyff every home game. It's okay for a while, and then it dies out.
This is a very important point. We have seen this movie, you and I, many, many times.
Yes.
Quinalha and Beckenbauer and Cruyff, yes, and Thierry Henry and Rooney and Beckham and all of these people. They are attractions. They are not catalysts. When Pelé came to the New York Cosmos in the 70s with the North American Soccer League, a precursor of the MLS, everybody said, oh, everyone's going to watch him. Kids are all going to play soccer. We're going to win the World Cup. We never won the World Cup. We never came close to the World Cup. Kids played soccer, and then they went to the NFL to watch that. And people watched Pelé. They watched these stars. They're well past their primes at this point. But it ultimately, Mike, on Sunday, everybody watches the Super Bowl. It's just, it's nice for a while. It's a lovely thing.
I'm agreeing with you, but I'm doing this. Is Messi, is it different? Your son and my son pay so much more attention to the daily drumbeat of world football than we thought, than we did or the previous generation. Is it moving in a different way?
No, maybe slightly, maybe incrementally. It's the same thing as Pelé, who everybody loved. It's just 50 years later. Yeah. He's 35. He's going to play a year and a half. It's over.
Yep. That's it.
I mean, it's nice.
Own the team.
Come on.
He's going to own the team, not big. Play for the team.
It'll be big in Miami for Miami.
Let's take a break. Coming up.
What kind of chance does your boy Novak Djokovic have against Carlos Alcaraz in tomorrow's French Open semi?
And Oklahoma softball has won 51 straight, but are the Sooners vulnerable to Florida State? Matthew woke me up with a text this morning and then a phone call screaming about Messi. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to get some sleep here. Go to bed.
Like, it's too much screaming, too much scream out loud moments.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
It's time for Toss Up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, secretly wishes he was in Miami with Wilbon, but forcefully denies it to anyone who asks. I really would like to be there, actually. What's
Get
first?
Toss up. Who you got in Friday's French Open men's semi? Novak Djokovic or Carlos Alcaraz?
Okay, so this, my answer is with my heart, not with my head. Because my head tells me it's going to be Djokovic. because he is so experienced, because he's getting near the end, and he probably see this as a valedictory in Paris, because he knows how to get to a tiebreaker, and he's 5-0 in tiebreakers in this tournament. I understand Alcaraz is the number one seed. He's 20 years old. He's going to be a great, great player. But Djokovic is still a great, great player. Alcaraz has one major. Djokovic has 22, including one this year. So while I root for Alcaraz, Mike, I think it's going to be Djokovic.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Djokovic. I think the time is up, Tom. And it's up for everybody. We went through this. I mean, we've gone through this for a couple of generations of players, but I think about it most with Sampras and Agassi and that group. And it's just, it's time. And I realize Djokovic has had a greater career in terms of Grand Slams won than those guys have,
sure.
All Hall of Famers, yeah. But it's time. And Alcaraz is just a stud on every level. I think this is his coming out party time. It's his time. He's going to eclipse Djokovic. I'm not going to say, man, it's hard to put Federer and Djokovic in the same sentence. Not to and Nadal, you got, I mean, you sort of got to group all three of them. Can't talk about one without the other two. But I just think that Alcaraz is going to start his march. How close he gets to them, God only knows. I have no idea. I think it starts now.
It's next.
Toss up, who you got in the Women's College World Series that starts tonight? Florida State or Oklahoma?
So I know absolutely nothing about this. Please take what I say with a grain of salt. But I do know that Oklahoma has won 51 games in a row. And I know they've won the last two national championships in a row. And I was told today that they played Florida State earlier in the year and they beat Florida State. So it's hard for me to believe that Florida State will take them down in this particular match. They have, this is good, all year long in the 51 straight, they've outscored opponents 420-49. That's like 8.5 runs a game, Mike.
Yeah.
In this tournament alone, they've outscored opponents 70-14. I'm not knocking Florida State. They went to the finals a couple of years ago, and they lost to Oklahoma. I'm just saying Oklahoma seems like the winner.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma does. You know, the interesting flap, and I've watched more of the softball World Series, the playoffs and all of that this year, because Northwestern was in it for a long time, lost in the Super Regional, and I've paid more attention. And when you watch Oklahoma, you just shake your head. And the biggest thing about Oklahoma is this controversy, which is mostly captured in social media, where apparently in some quarters people are upset about the way Oklahoma celebrates, the way they sort of passionately celebrate every win. They don't treat it as, you know, get into the end zone and drop the football as if you've been there before. Oh, no. They go to some length to celebrate, and some teams and schools and coaches and athletic directors not happy about that. But anyway, Florida State, and I'm not going to come up with the name, has a great pitcher. Don't know if that's enough to take down Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a favorite for a reason, and it's hard to see this not being another World Series. Tone, three in a row, but nobody's
you
done
don't
three
want
in a row
them
since
to celebrate.
UCLA in the late 80s. Late 80s, I think,
you don't
UCLA
want them to celebrate,
this.
Mike. Beat them, and then
beat
they
them.
Won't
that's
celebrate.
Right.
It's that easy. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Aaron Judge hits the injured list after hitting the wall in Los Angeles.
Ran through that fence. And is it too soon to get excited about a hitter who's batting 401? The first week of June? Yes. Yes.
Ruined the... Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Tired of- Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 27th birthday, Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey played the first six games of last season for Carolina and then was traded to the 49ers. His first game in San Francisco, McCaffrey did not start and the 49ers lost. The next 10 games McCaffrey started, 49ers won all 10 and then two playoff games. McCaffrey finished the regular season with 1,139 yards rushing, 741 yards receiving, and 13 total touchdowns, 10 of which he got in San Francisco. McCaffrey was finally healthy, played 17 games, made the Pro Bowl. The previous 2 years in Carolina, McCaffrey played a total of only 10 games.
He's a great complimentary piece, Tony, which is what he was asked to be in San Francisco. He was asked to do too much at Carolina for pretty much a bad team, mediocre to bad, and he's not that kind of player. There's some guys who can make a much greater difference on a bad team. McCaffrey is a complimentary piece. I'd want to have him every Sunday.
Happy anniversary, Kenny Smith. On this day 28 years ago, in game one of the NBA Finals, the Houston Rockets trailed the Orlando Magic by 20 in Orlando. But Houston stormed back late, led by Smith's 23 points, and a then-finals record 7 threes, the last of which forced overtime that Houston won on a tip-in by Hakeem Olajuwon. Houston ended up sweeping the series as Olajuwon held his own against Shaquille O'Neal. Smith was on two championship teams in Houston. He was originally drafted by Sacramento out of North Carolina in 1987 as the 6th overall pick. Seemed like a nice kid. Whatever happened to Kenny Smith?
You know what? I wonder if Kenny Smith is aware of this particular anniversary. I'm going to see him in about an hour, and I'm going to ask him. I'm going to walk up to Kenny and say, happy anniversary. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Knowing Kenny, he probably will know exactly what we're talking about.
Happy trails, Aaron Judge. The Yankees have placed their superstar slugger on the 10-day injured list with a contusion and ligament sprain of his right big toe, resulting from Judge's great defensive play over the weekend when he literally ran through a wall in Dodger Stadium to make a catch. The toe is reportedly not broken. The Dodgers reacted by planning to reinforce the chain link fence in right field that Judge ran through and add a strip of padding to the concrete portion where he jammed his toe. This is the second time this season Judge has gone on the injured list. First time is for a strained hip. When he plays, Judge has hit 19 homers.
All right, yesterday you asked a question, was it worth it for Judge to make that catch? And I said probably not, particularly if he has to go on the DL. You said, oh, it's worth it. The effort is worth it. The result is not. If he has to miss time, his bat is too valuable.
Yeah. Yankees game tonight postponed because of the smoke from the Canadian wildfires. One omission, the name of Florida State's great pitcher is Catherine Sandercock, and quickly to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Iga Swiatek crushed Coco Gauff. Your reaction?
6-4, 6-2. Coco Gauff now 0-7 against Swiatek. She's like only 22 years old, Swiatek, and Coco's 18. She got to get through her at some point. Louisa Rise of the Marlins is hitting 401. Marcus Semien of the Rangers has a 25-game hit streak. Which is more significant?
The 401, because 25 is too far away from 56. Dwight Howard, your boy, told the Sacramento Observer he's not retired. He'd like to help the Kings. You don't think that's a good fit, do you?
Sacramento, just say no seems like the way you want to go there. Max Scherzer against Charlie Morton tonight in Atlanta. Who you got?
Are you kidding me? I got the Warrior guard. I got Max. Last one.
Of course.
Athletic reports James Harden is torn between the Sixers and the Rockets. Pick for him.
There's got to be somebody on the Rockets roster with those young players that the Sixers would like to do a sign and trade for. Tyrese Maxey needs to be the second best player in Philly anyway. So I'm saying, you know what I'm saying?
You're saying Houston. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. Check out NBA Countdown tonight before game 3 of Nuggets Heat. But first, right now,
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.